Jill Anderson is a naturalist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hello.
Well, now, you've explained bird molting to us, but birds aren't the only animals that molt.
True. Most all animals do some kind of molting. You know, it just depends on what their outer layer is. Some of the most obvious other molters around in our natural world are the snakes and the reptiles and the amphibians, which this time of year, because this is the time of year that they're out and about growing, hopefully, and maturing for the youngsters, they are needing to shed those outer layers occasionally.
Yeah, I would think the only way they can get bigger is if they lose the outer layer they've got.
That's right. Yeah, they got to accommodate that growth. Mm-hmm. Our skin just, you know, manages to stretch a little bit, but also we're losing. I mean, if we could really, I don't know if you've ever had a cast, you know, from a broken arm or leg or something, but that's, I haven't ever had one, but I know that people that I know who've had them say, oh, it's just dramatic because you get all this dead skin under the cast, right? If it's something you can't take off. And it really gives you a sense of just how much your skin is replacing your skin cells all the time. You know, so we're doing it. We're just doing it in a whole different kind of way.
But we don't find a snake skin laying in the garden. Like
no, I
would.
Haven't left one at the door here or anything. But so to snakes, which is probably the thing that people might have most likely have seen some evidence of before. Snakes are very remarkable in the way they molt, in that they molt the entire skin pretty much all at once. So that's why you can find these long, empty skins. And the molting starts at the head. One of the obvious things that indicates a molt is going to occur soon is that the covering over their eyes makes their eyes look bluish, kind of opaque. And that's because there's air that's building up in there and is obscuring our view of their eyes and their view out. They can't even see as well. I don't know if they're really blind, but they can't. Their vision isn't as good as it normally is. That's kind of an initial clue that it's going to happen. Then the skin around the lips loosen up and they'll try to get into a place where there's a lot of rough surfaces, you know, narrow crevice. I know they really like to go in our covered leaf piles that we compost because there's a lot of more rough edges in there, plus it's very protected. But anyway, they'll get into some sort of place like that, and they begin to roll that loose skin that's on by the lips and the head back. And so they are gradually working that skin back against these rough surfaces. And so they're actually pulling it back and pulling it inside out. So it comes back over the head and over the rest of the body. And the snake is trying to work its way out and catch that skin on things so that they can move away from the skin as it's kind of held in place. So the snake skin that you find is actually inside out.
Now, do they do this on a regular basis or only once or twice?
Little, you know, young snakes will have to do it quite a bit because they're growing more and faster. But adult snakes are going to do it probably two or three times over the summer. So it's not a one-shot deal.
Well, I think a lot of us have seen what you're talking about, the inside-out snake skin. Mm-hmm. But amphibians, I've never seen an empty frog or toad.
Right. I've read descriptions of how a toad sheds its skin. That has been described as the toad, the American toad, so bigger, or the little ones. You know, we've talked about the toadlets, right? Well, they've got to do this as they grow. They kind of hunch up their backs, and their skin splits both lengthwise on the back and on the belly, and then it splits crosswise. And then they rub their legs to pull that all off their legs, so it kind of comes off maybe almost in quarters. So it must be quite a sight to see as they try to maneuver all their legs, you know, or their legs
well,
one at a time to
because
pull this off.
Snakes don't have legs, but amphibians
and frogs, do.
They've
so
got
they,
like four of them.
Yeah, so they
so
have
I was
to get those off. Are. And maybe their small pieces break off to some degree. But in the case of at least toads, then eat their skins.
I've heard that too.
Okay, so they pull all this off and it kind of ends up in kind of a lump. Frogs, my sense is that I don't know how well this has been observed or say, but that they tend, I think, come, and salamanders, I think, tends to come off more in smaller pieces. And like I said, there's general statements about amphibians eating their shed skins, but I'm not sure that it's true for all of them. And then the other thing that people might be seeing these days is turtles. So turtles have to shed too. And
oh, wait a minute. How do they do that?
Well, what they're working on shedding is, especially, is their shells, because their shells have to grow to accommodate them as they grow. And so if you think of the common painted turtle, if you've got a closer up look, you know that both the plastron, the underside, the most colorful part, and the carapace, the upper shell of these hard-shelled turtles, are made of plates. Well, in the painted turtle, they shed the outer layer of those plates individually. You'll see these thin, almost transparent, translucent, thin layers, like a veneer, lifting off. And as they get far enough off, then they come off completely. And then the color, you know, really comes through. So when they're molting, the color will look a little more dull and stuff, because there's all this this loosening stuff that's sort of muting the bright colors of the shell. Snapping turtles don't accommodate growth that way. They actually add a layer to the small plates that compose their shells. They actually add a layer on the underside so that the piece gets bigger and bigger.
So they grow from the inside out.
Yeah, to the underside. And there are a couple of plates within the mosaic of the snapping turtle's carapace that are quite reliable for aging snapping turtles. You can't use just any one, but you can see the layers. And at least until the turtles get really old, you can generally find them. And they're more of an annual thing. Our turtles are all doing some molting and getting out in the sunshine, you know, basking.
Jill Anderson regularly updates us with the goings-on in our woods and waters. Thanks for bringing us up to date on amphibian and reptile molting.
You're welcome.